Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another week of Gee Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today I am here with one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. Ayana Lage is a lifestyle blogger, a freelance writer. She writes about motherhood, mental health, social justice, and everyday life on her blog, and she hosts the Asked by Ayana podcast, which is a show that's focused on dream jobs and career journeys. She also rounds up all of the funniest, and I mean funniest, tweets on Twitter, which is amazing because I quit Twitter and the only thing I miss are the funny tweets. I just have to follow her. It doesn't, like, I don't have to go back there anymore, and I'm really, really thankful. Ayana, thank you for coming and welcome.
Yeah, so good to be here. I will forever admire your willpower in quitting Twitter.
Like, me too.
The things I would give and do to be able to have the wherewithal to leave forever.
I would not say, yeah, I would not say I had the wherewithal. I would say I was losing my wherewithal, and that's why I had to, and that's why I had to leave. I wanted to bring one of the funny, like, I always screenshot the tweets from your stories, and then I get, you know, they're lost in my phone of screenshots, but like, there was one the other day that I was dying laughing at. How do you find all, like, you really have found all of the funniest ones? Are you curating these? How long does it take you?
So the very sad thing is that it's just me scrolling through Twitter and liking things, and then every Sunday, because I post them on Monday, I go through my likes.
I appreciate it so much, Ayana. I really do. Yeah.
I think I probably like around 70 or 80 tweets a week, maybe more. And then I just pick from, and I guess that's not counting like the political, serious, whatever.
Right.
So, spend a lot of time on Twitter. A lot of time.
Don't, you know, I understand. I'm looking up in our, honestly, so there's stories. I need to screenshot what our messages look like, because look at what it looks like now. So it's stories. So now you can't see any of the tweets that there were, but I'm showing her what the screenshots are. The screenshot, the messages is me responding. LOL. Ha 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 ha. Fuck. LOL. That's me. Oh my God. Same. And I'm choking. I'm dying. Help. Scream. I mean, this is really it. I'm going to put this in the show notes of this episode, because it is really funny. The best tweet. So like, truly, like, I follow you for all the other stuff too, but this has just made it so exciting to me, because I don't have to go on Twitter anymore. You do it for me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm like, if I'm already suffering on there, I might as well like spread the wealth and stop other people from having to use the app.
Look, if I could get my timeline to a place where it was only funny tweets and jokes, and I could guarantee, and I know with muting and everything, but there's really no guarantee. If I could guarantee that no, like, absolute like Trumpian bullshit would like enter my space, I would do it. But I can't, that is not promised to any of us in this life. So I don't think it's gonna ever happen.
Yeah. And even if, I feel like I've muted a lot of the conservative accounts, but like Twitter's discourse is like, you know, there's always a main character.
And yes,
yes. Everyone has an opinion.
Yes.
That's the part I think that still gets me. It's inescapable. It's like what the platform was designed for. You just.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always that tweet. I know you're going to know it. And I'm sure some people who spend a lot of time on Twitter know it too. But it's like, Twitter is this game, and every day there's a main character, and the goal of the game is to never be the main character.
Right. Can you imagine, though?
No. No, I would die. Like, and so it's best to leave now. And, you know, like, leave while you're up. you know, we had a good 8-year run or however long I was like addicted to the app. But I'm so pumped you're here. You're in Tampa. How long have you lived in Tampa?
Pretty much forever. Yeah. I like will leave and come back. That's kind of my thing. But yeah, I my family moved here when I was in kindergarten. They're still here. My husband's family is here. So when we were like a 3 or 4 years ago, when we were like, okay, like, where are we going to settle? It was like, okay, like, we're going to go back home. So, yeah, I'm very envious of people who don't live in Florida, even though I do like it, but grass is always greener.
Sure. Sure. Where if you weren't living in Florida, if your family wasn't there, if your in-laws weren't there, where would you be?
Good question. So I think that it would either be realistic Atlanta or like Charlotte, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Nice.
Like pie in the sky dreams, it would be Seattle or Brooklyn.
Nice.
But I lived in DC for a bit, and I know that I'm like made for suburban living, and I've just kind of accepted that is my lot in life.
I understand. So Anna, let me tell you about LA. It's a city, but it's very suburban. So you should come.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I've never been. I've never visited.
Come on out. There's not, it's funny. You, after 10 years of living in Brooklyn, I'm like, okay, I know what a city is. This is, LA is not a city. LA is a bunch of suburbs in a place. Like, there's no city. Like anything you think you know about a city is just not what's in LA. There's downtown LA, which is the most city-like part of Los Angeles, but everything else is just houses and cars. I mean, I can't walk anywhere, and I love that. I can just drive, you know, like,
that's fascinating.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think you would like it out here, because you still can be like, oh no, I live in a city, but you're still also driving to Costco in the car, my favorite activity.
Right.
So, and you know, and there's no, it's really weird. It's weird. It's weird. And every time people are like, LA is a city, I'm like, definitely. Yeah. But it is really not. It's very suburban. And that's why I like it too, because I love a suburban lifestyle.
Yeah. I thought that I'd love DC, but then like carrying my groceries on the metro was enough for me to be like, yep, I'm never, I can't do this.
Yeah, no. And also the great thing about Florida is that like you guys all have central air conditioning. Air conditioning, Florida understands air conditioning.
Oh yeah.
And California doesn't, because it gets cold at night. And so that's a big complaint I have about here. And also New York doesn't really get it either. But Florida, yes, it's very hot and humid, but you'll never go somewhere where they don't have air conditioning.
Oh yeah, no. It would, I don't know what would even happen. our AC broke. And we literally like called an emergency repair company, and we were like, we need you to come out right now.
Tell me what it costs. Be here.
We'll drain like whatever it takes.
How hot is it there right now? It's mid July.
I think it's like, I haven't been outside yet today, but I think it's like high 90s.
Yeah.
And humid. I mean, I don't know. It's like such a like heavy. Have you been to Florida during? I know that the heat's different everywhere, but yeah, like it just weighs on you. It's like a heavy heat because of the humidity.
Yeah.
But I still prefer it to the cold.
Oh, okay. So. See, yes, I'm a winter person, but I have been to Florida in June twice actually, and I wear glasses, and it is one of those things where it's like the second you step outside, your glasses like fog up, and your clothes are wet. Like it's like it just is really. But then air conditioning, you know, it's fine. Everyone has a pool. It's like you can always find a pool and air conditioning. So I like Florida. And you and I, you know what? I'm trying to think. I'm like, how did I start following her? How did I learn about her? And I actually think I was following you on Twitter first.
Oh, you were, because I had a moment when you followed me where I was like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe she followed me.
I'm not
just saying that.
Oh my God.
I was like,
oh my God, dream bigger, please. I really.
No, you were very cool. I mean, you're still very cool, but I'm saying on Twitter, you were like
back in the day, a
very cool Twitter presence.
Oh my gosh. Like, I didn't even have to pay very you to say psyched. That. Thank you.
I think I like tweeted and added you. Where it's like, oh, you might find this funny. And then you followed me. And I was
Yeah, because
like,
it probably was so effing funny based on what I know. Like everything you feed me is like my, like you are literally like my personal algorithm, like telling me, like giving me what I actually want to see. And I appreciate that. I remember you went through a miscarriage and you were very public about that and talking about that. And I thought that that was really brave and also important that you were willing to do that at the time. And it's something that you also write about a lot, right? It's one of the big sort of topics that you have not shied away from covering. What is that like for you to have, what was that decision like to put such an intimate experience in a place like Twitter, where we know that, you know, there's a, for all the good that can come from it, there can also be a lot of like grossness.
Yeah. That's a good question. So I hear people and like my husband and a lot of the people I know are fall into this category who are like, I'm a very like private person. I've never been able to relate to that. I feel like since like the Zanga days, I've been kind of spewing everything that's happening to me out onto the internet.
Yes.
Which I think is why people become writers, right? Yes. Look how I can get paid for this. So I first shared after my miscarriage on Facebook, which is like people that know me, then Instagram, and then then I started sharing on Twitter. The response though was so positive, which was like so unexpected. Sharing online, I think that I did not have a moment where I was like, okay, I'm going to tell the world. Not to get into like the whole story, but I announced my pregnancy before the miscarriage. So everyone knew that I was pregnant.
Right.
So I didn't really have a choice. I didn't have the luxury of processing before telling everyone. I was like, my options are either to put it out there or to delete all of my pregnancy content and hope that people can piece it together themselves. Mm-hmm. Not that there's like a right or wrong way to do that, no. But I was like, you know, I'm going to be honest about what happened and how it feels.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad that I did that.
Did it make you at all nervous when you were pregnant with Nora to have to go through that? Were you more cautious about sharing in the early parts of your pregnancy?
Interestingly, I think that I'm maybe an outlier here because I expected it to be that way. I was very much like, I'm not going to, like, I'm going to wait until, like, the baby's practically born to share if I get pregnant again. And I think I just realized that with my first pregnancy, I was so focused on the safe point of pregnancy and making it there and, like, kind of just, like, being sick in silence until I made it there and, you know, not telling anyone. And outside of like, you know, close family, close friends and family, like no one outside of that orbit is going to know what's happening.
Right.
And then I made it to the safe point and then I lost the baby. So I was kind of like, I'd rather just put it out there. And if something happens again, then it happens and I'll share. But I don't want to feel like, oh, I can't tell anyone because like, what if I miscarry? Because I did things the like what I felt was like the safest way the first time, and I still didn't tell everyone.
Right.
I announced the pregnancy with Nora earlier actually than I did with my first pregnancy.
Oh wow, that does make sense to me because there is this idea of like, oh, I don't want to jinx it, and you kind of learned that like, well, I did all the stuff, I did the non-jinxing stuff, and I still got screwed. So it almost sort of rips the Band-Aid off. I mean, that's such a painful experience that I'm sure the next time around it was almost like you kind of know like anything can happen at any time. If I want to share, I'm going to share. Sharing doesn't put me in a and it doesn't affect whatever is going to happen.
Yeah, it has no impact on the outcome. And I just think that I felt like I did for a long time, but in retrospect, I don't regret sharing and everyone being so happy for me the first time.
If I sound a little different than I did just a minute ago, just a second ago even, it's because we had a massive technical difficulty on my side while recording, which is one of the benefits of interviewing someone who also has a podcast is that now we're using Ayana's whole setup to do this, which is why I probably sound a little different because I could not get my microphone to connect to my computer. It's fine. Everything's going to be okay, but we're back. Whew. Okay. A journey. We've been on a journey. Anna, I wanted to say, and I hope this doesn't sound weird, but I actually like, I have such a bad relationship with the way that I was, the religion that I was raised with, which is Roman Catholic, that watching you sort of interact with your faith and talk about your faith has made me realize that I am not, there are so many elements of religion and Christianity that like, I think I'm missing in my experience. And I'm really grateful that you've sort of changed my mind about a lot of stuff. And I feel like you probably get that a lot.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's like such an honor to hear that just because I do have a weird relationship with the idea of being a Christian or being religious. I grew up in a very like, not so much politically conservative because that's not like it in black churches, that's less of a thing than like the white American church, but like a very like lots of rules and like a lot of like just really harmful opinions about people who were different than us. And so I think that like for me, like I started reading books from queer Christians and from black Christians and from, you know, just Christians across the spectrum of life. Like I have a prayer book that has, you know, just like thoughts from Christians who are mentally ill, who are from indigenous communities, who are disabled. And so I think that like seeing the wide range helped me come to terms with the fact that I still wanted to be a part of Christianity without it. But then I add the disclaimer anytime. I'm like, hey, like I'm not transphobic. I am not homophobic. I don't think that – I think that women's healthcare and women's rights are a huge priority. So I feel like I try to add those disclaimers anytime that I mention like being an American Christian because it's mm-hmm. just – it's a very, very touchy thing for good reason.
Yeah, totally. And I really appreciate just like how obvious your values are to, I think, like the average follower of yours, because it became very clear to me. Like sometimes, you know, when you see like someone go ultra religious on you, especially like I follow all of the, you know, like the Salt Lake City like bloggers and all of a sudden something jumps out and you're like, like we do not share the same values. Yeah. It was very clear to me from the beginning that like you and I share very much the same values, and to be able to be like, oh, well, someone can like still find strong faith under that moral code and under that value set is like, that's very hopeful to me. And also your church looks cool. It just looks cool. It just looks like you. Cool church. Is it cool church?
It is fun. It's down to earth. It's the church I'm at now. It's the first church I've ever been to where the pastor will say like, oh, let's grab a beer and talk about that. And like, that's normal. You don't have to like pretend you don't drink.
Yeah, sure.
Do it behind closed doors. So yeah, no, I think it's just been like the loudest voices in Christianity are also the worst people with the worst values. You know, I don't blame anyone who, especially after the last 4 or 5 years, like distrust Christians or people in America who call themselves Christians, just because like, why would you? Right. It's been awful, but no, I definitely, there was a point in my life where I'd want to tell people about Jesus or convert or share the good news. That's not where I'm at. I'm just like, this is something that I do, that I'm into. And, you know, I just try to share it like I would any other part of my life.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting when you think about like a marketing tactic, like pushing anything on anyone isn't going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't work.
But you have made it a very sort of inviting. I like going to church on like Christmas and stuff for like the theatrical aspect of it all. Like I love the songs. You'll catch me singing. But I just have not, you know, I was raised Catholic. It's just that's a different beast. And there's a lot of problems with the Catholic Church, many of them public. It's just like a weird, and you know, like my brother's gay and like I have gay friends and I have trans friends. And it's like, well, this doesn't seem, everything I've read about or that you've told me about, like Jesus and like whatever I was supposed to believe in as a child, doesn't seem like it comes through in like the actions and what I see like purported by the church. And so it's just not something that I'm really connected with, but I really like seeing people, especially people my own age, find religion in a way that like works for them, and to also know that that exists, because you know, the Catholic Church is so powerful, so rich, so white, so just like, it just, it's so powerful. I mean, it is kind of the loud, like you said, the loudest voice in the room, and just being exposed to people who are still like, oh, I'm Christian or I'm religious, but not in the way that you probably assume that it means. I think it like gives me a little bit of hope, because I think like faith is great. I just think that like my experiences with it have not been.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, cool church. I mean, like I like you guys have like the cool songs church. Like sometimes, like in New York, Z100 was like the, you know, like top 40 hits radio station. And we brought our car from Brooklyn to California. And that station in California is like Hillsong station. And I like have not changed. I like listen to it all the time. I think it's like, I'm like, you know what I mean? You think you're like listening to it. You're like, oh my God, this is about God. This is about God. I thought this was about a guy. This is about Jesus.
It's very catchy. It's very catchy.
Very catchy. So, I mean, thank you for sharing. You share like all of these parts of your life. Are there parts of your life, because you've been doing this for a long time, you know, you've been in this game for a while. Like, are there things that you have kept private, or are there non-negotiable things that you're like, I don't put this online?
I feel like for me, I feel like you probably are able to relate to this. I think that for me, it's very much like if something doesn't feel right, I'm not going to share it. When it comes to other people in my life, I am a lot more cautious about like, just because I'm okay like sharing it out. Something for me that like I established like once I started like really like writing and just being active on social media is like I don't share things about my relationship that are negative, in the sense of like I'm just like I'm never gonna on Instagram stories and be like, oh my God, Wagner and I are having this huge fight and I'm crying because, you know, he's being such a huge jerk. I save that for like my group chats.
Yeah, for therapy. Yeah.
Or for my therapist. And I'm not trying to make it sound like he makes me cry every night, but if if we're like having like just like, you know, a rough week, like that's I think the biggest thing. And then with Nora, like I'm also like not a huge fan of like storying like temper tantrums, like, or basically like just like when they don't have input or control, I'm like, all right, like,
yeah,
that's not my place. Not my place to share it with the world. But yeah, other than that, I think it's just sometimes I'll share something and be like, a few days later, after looking at responses, being like, I wish that I'd kept that to myself. And so I think that that's just like a learning process. Totally. Figuring out what I'm okay with people knowing. Yeah.
I think so much of like an internet persona ends up being like, yeah, this is a very authentic like dimension of myself that you're seeing. But there are other things that I don't like put on the internet. And it's not like, oh, I'm hiding this from you, or I'm like sin of omission even. But like, you know, we all have like our internet personalities.
Oh yeah.
And I think if you know, now talking to you, it's like, okay, you're very much who I thought you were going to be. I'm probably pretty much who you thought I was going to be. But there's also like, there is stuff I haven't put on the internet because I realized like how little privacy I've actually given myself. And it's like, that's fine. It's afforded me a lot of like great opportunities, and I'm sure you feel the same way. But it is kind of like, I get very envious of people who are like, oh yeah, I'm just not really online. I'm like, what? What is that like? Yeah. Tell me more. I love following you. I think that you've always done a really great job at like being transparent about like the business of being in the influencer space, the business of being a Black woman in the influencer space, I think is like something that we could use more transparency about, because so much of this stuff ends up being so hush hush and these like kind of like backdoor deals or whatever. But there's like a lot of inequity in this space. And like, it's good to have these transparent accounts so, you know, people can be held accountable for, you know, like the deals that they're making. And I that's been like really, really cool to watch. And just also just learning how it works is really interesting. Did you have any sort of like guidance going into this world from someone else who was doing it first, or were you really finding your way?
Yeah, like with influencing, I think I just kind of, I very much entered like without an idea of how it worked or what I was doing, and kind of figured it out and like met people, like made all my mistakes early on with no idea what I was doing, and then made friends who were like, you need to charge more than $50 for an Instagram post. I was like, okay, I did not know that. So, I mean, yeah, now I do my best. I honestly haven't shared about it lately as much as I did before, but I do my best to just kind of like talk about like things that I wish I would have known, because I do think it is a very different experience for Black women in the industry. So yeah, I think it's important.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's just also important, I think, for I've been watching, I'm assuming you've been watching too, like the whole Nordstrom sale influencer. Yeah. Like, what is your take on this? Because I keep hearing I read Steph McNeil at BuzzFeed, her take on it. I've been watching, yesterday I watched Emily Jackson of the Rachel Parcell.
Yeah,
I knew you knew what I would be talking about. So they went to Nordstrom to check out her IVL athleisure line. And then in the car on the way back, they did a story that was like, what was the best thing about the Nordstrom sale? And they were like, IVL, and everything else sucked. And I was like, that's a really big statement to make from this like family of like huge influencers, especially people who have a deal with Nordstrom who's selling their clothing. As an influencer, do you have any intel you can give us on what the hell is going on with the Nordstrom sale and why all of a sudden this year there is all of this backlash?
I personally influencing, or I mean, I'm not like a fashion blogger, but I have shopped the Nordstrom sale, public access, mind you. I've never been someone who's been like roped off VIP.
Yeah.
And I've never gotten the hype, really. I mean, honestly, the deals have always been so much better in the like after the sale, or even like if you wait until the sale stuff gets pushed to Nordstrom Rack, like that's usually how I shop it. But I mean, influencers do make a lot of money if they're able. I mean, Nordstrom has a great commission rate. If you're able to convince people to buy things, you're going to make a ton of money during the Nordstrom sale. I do think it's funny that so many bloggers are like, is it overhyped? Is it not? Like, should we share it? Should we not? And then like the next day it's like, here's my Nordstrom sale roundup. It's like, just do it. Just say like, hey, we're going to shop the sale together. It's going to be great. So I think that this year, the thing that has been funny to me is people who are kind of like, just like, oh, like, is it worth it? Like, is it not? And then like, end up sharing all of it anyway. I'm like, that doesn't make you authentic. It just, I don't know. It feels like pandering. But
a little bit. Yeah. Like just like, oh, I want to show everyone that I did hem and haw for a little bit over this. But then it's weird. It's funny. You know, my whole podcast runs off of product recommendations, affiliate links. It's how I keep it in business. And like, that's always been sort of a transparent thing, especially because that's the topic of the show. I didn't know. I thought Nordstrom must be giving out like a really high commission, because you would think that these people, I mean, they do. They have a big financial investment in making sure people shop. But the fact that they're out here being like, it's actually not that good and there's not that much good stuff, I would rather them say like, hey, it was a hard year in retail and Nordstrom decided, you know, like they weren't going to give us the cut we usually get. And this takes a lot of time and effort for us to, you know, push these sales and, you know, do all these roundups. Right. And so I'm sitting it out. It's not a good business decision. That would make me feel a little bit better than all of them just trying to be like, the stuff isn't as good. Like, don't hide the, just say like, hey, they're not paying, like no one else would work for free. I think people get that. Like, hey, this, you know, this takes a ton of time, like doing all these reels, doing all these hauls, doing all these try-ons. And it used to be worth it to me in the past, because if you guys went shopping through my link, I would get a cut. And this year they're not doing that anymore. And so, you know, I'll give you a few things that I like, but I have to focus my energy on the stuff that's actually paying me. But I haven't really heard anyone say that. I've just been hearing like, there are not as many good dresses. And I'm like, is it about the dresses or are they just not paying you? Because I feel like for any amount of money, they could shill. I mean, influencers could shill anything.
Right.
I get it. But I don't know. Like, did you see anybody who was saying straight up, like, look, it's just not a good investment?
There's still, I don't think the commission rate has dropped that much. I don't know off the top of my head through.
Yeah, like, I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I think it's still a decent commission rate, though. I think some of that is just trying to seem like you're, like, listening to your audience who's, like, tired. I mean, I think that I remember the first year that I, like, was following bloggers for the Nordstrom sale. It was, like, it just seemed like everyone loved it. And now I think people kind of, like all of the influencers I follow who've done polls, like, will you be shopping the in sale? Like, it's like 70% no. Like, I think people are just over it, especially because it's a lot of the same stuff every year. It's like the same, like, Barefoot Dreams, like, cardigan, blanket, whatever, like the same leggings for a year.
Yeah. So it's like, totally. Yeah. I do love the Barefoot Dreams stuff, though. The influencers got me on the Barefoot Dreams.
Is it worth it? I've never tried. I've never
tried. Let me tell you something. It's a blanket. You like warm blankets? Here's a warm blanket. Like, yeah, it's great. It's a nice warm blanket. Like, did it come and, like, change my life? And, like, did I become, like, a cozy little, like, coffee girl, like, sitting under my... No, I did not. But it's, like, a nice warm blanket. But you would think that, like... This blanket came with, like, $1 million wrapped in the middle of it, and
the hype is unreal there.
I mean, look, marketing is crazy. I just did like one of the new, you know, I do a newsletter every week of, like, a product a week, and these Facebook ads for this travel bag called Baboon to the Moon, like, really got me. These really colorful bags, and I wrote that, like, I bought it with my own money, and all that I wanted was for it to show up and for me to be like, this is a scam, or, like, this sucks. I don't like it. It's not what they promised. And it's a great bag, and I love it. And I was like, damn it. Like, foiled again. But, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, do you need a warm blanket? Yeah, Barefoot Dreams is a great option. Do you not need a warm blanket? But, like, are you, like, super influenced? I don't know if you're going to feel anything when the Barefoot Dreams blanket shows up to your house. But if someone's like, hey, I need a really warm blanket, I think you know where to take them. I mean, who knows? Anna, are you shopping the end sale?
I am not shopping the – I mean, again, might wander into Nordstrom. That's usually how I've shopped in the past.
Yes.
But, like, no plan, just vibes. Like, if I see something, I think that I view it the way I would it as any store having a good sale. Like,
yeah.
Not necessarily going to, like, go out of my way unless I'm looking for something very specific. But
yeah, there is something about a 70% off thing that just makes you feel it's a feeling you kind of have to sort of push down, I think, as an adult who can, like, think and as someone who has to pay bills and stuff. Like, sometimes when something's 70% off, you're like, it's
basically free.
It's such a deal. Yeah, exactly. They're giving it away. So speaking of shopping, that brings me to my big question. Obviously, what did you bring to G Thanks Just Bought It?
Okay, so it feels weird saying bra. Like, I feel like I have it right here. I should just, you know, lift it up. But they can't see that.
They can't. It's okay. And it's okay.
Sorry, I will not do a dramatic reveal.
It's okay. Just pretend, you guys.
Yes, just pretend. I brought Hotel Lobby Candle, which is a candle brand started by a friend of mine, but I'm not saying that because she is.
My friend.
Lindsay Silberman.
I didn't know that. No.
You didn't know she started it?
No.
No way.
Well, here we are.
So I have been a candle person, like, was the person stocking up at the Bath & Body Works Christmas sale every year.
Yes.
But I hesitate to pay more because I think I'm spoiled by Bath & Body Works more than, like, $9. For a candle.
I'm with you.
And this one lives up to the hype. I'm always very skeptical, even if it's an influencer that I know, when an influencer releases a product and then a bunch of people are, like, ranting and raving, and you're like, well, like, are you saying that because you like them? But no, the candle, it's a great candle. I have the Island candle. I keep it on my desk. Like, I'm literally looking at it because it feels wrong not to as I'm talking. about it.
Yeah.
The packaging, the branding is so cute, and it has like such a strong but still subtle smell.
Okay.
I'm very passionate about candles, so.
And how much are these candles?
So the candle is $54.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, which again, like, if I buy like a Bath and Body Works candle full price, I'm like, wow, like lap of luxury.
Totally.
But it's one of those things that I am trying to, like, as I like get a little bit older, just trying to be like, okay, like, is it better to buy like, if I have, this only applies to like, you know, if you have the budget and if you have the money, obviously if you like, if it doesn't make financial sense, like don't do it. But for me, I'm like, is it better to buy several like different things that are like on sale or that I see and I'm like, that'll be cute, and like not really love any of them, or to invest in like I bought my first dress from Anthropology and nearly died.
But now you're like, I have this dress and I love it.
Right. And it's great. And it was worth it. And I'm going to wear it all the time. So that's my philosophy. So yeah. It's $54. But yeah, it's a good candle.
$54 feels, and I say this from like seeing so many roundups of like, this Diptyque candle is amazing and it costs $108. Like $54 is, I would say, in the candle world, like, mid to high price.
Yeah.
But it also comes down to, you know, burn time and what they call throw, which is how much the scent can fill the room that the candle is lit in. And cheaper candles burn faster, and also sometimes don't have as much of a throw, which is why anytime you walk in somewhere and even the little like Diptyque like tea light is lit, the entire place smells
amazing.
Nuts. Yeah. And that's because someone paid $87 for it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm with you. Like, I love going to Target and getting like the $9 candles. Like, sometimes I'll go crazy and get like a $17.99 candle and feel like a big freak. But I burn candles so often. It's like from the time I'm awake to the time I go to bed. So I always get kind of dicey about spending so much money. Like, do you feel very particular about like when you light the good candles versus when you light the Bath and Body Works candles?
This is okay. So the funny thing is that during my pregnancy with Nora, I burn candles all the time, and it made me so nauseous that now I'm like, I feel like it's made me like very like scent particular. But in general, I tend to burn like the nicer candles when I have people coming over or like I'm at my desk and like want a certain vibe, because I still have plenty of cheap candles. But okay. I think that like I probably wouldn't burn this candle all day long, for the reasons that you said. But I do think, I mean, I've been burning it and it's still, you know, hasn't I've burned it a lot and it's still in good
and
shape.
And it's still so, in good shape. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. I mean, I'm happy to invest in a $54 candle that like smells great and will last. But I just know myself, and sometimes I like light a candle in the morning and at the end of the day I'm like, oh my God, it's gone. Like where was I for the entire experience?
Yeah.
Like I always keep one lit in my bathroom, and you know, there's just, it just like makes the house feel, I mean, not in this weather, but definitely in the winter, like it makes everything feel cozier. Everything smells so pretty. But I am particular about when I light the nice candles, cause I'm like, I want to enjoy every second of this burn. Are you very devoted to the, to lighting a candle for the first time and letting it evenly melt down? You know, they say to like light it for like a set number of hours or whatever, so that you get like the even, so you don't get like the hole in the middle.
I should be more devoted to that.
Wow.
I don't trim my wicks as much as I should.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Not my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just kind of like go for it.
Fast and loose over here. Yeah.
A little bit chaotic.
A great tweet that I'm going to send you. It's old. It's when Disney Plus came out, but I think it could be a contender for your weekly roundup. And I remember it was a friend of mine, my friend Molly tweeted it. It was when Disney Plus started saying, you know, here are all the movies that are going to be on the platform.
Yeah.
And one of them was this old Disney movie called Candleshoe. But my friend Molly tweeted, so who's the candles hoe? And because it's just spelled Candleshoe, one word. And if you just put the S with candle, it's candles hoe. And I was like, I'm the candles hoe. That's how
you describe yourself.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Notable candles hoe. Honestly, you know, the mask mandate has been lifted in California. And one of my great pleasures now is actually getting to smell the candles in Target. I would lift them up to my masked face like a nut job, not be able to smell anything. And I'm like, well, I guess the mask is working, but I have no idea what I'm about to buy and what this is going to smell like. When you've held the candle up to your face, it's kind of like now you have to buy it. Like,
yeah, you can't, now it's yours.
Yeah, you're not like double dipping in the, you know, it was a big thing. So I got a lot of different scents that way. Now I feel like I'm really back to my old self of just standing in the aisle and just like sort of getting lost in the many flavors of Santal. But a hotel lobby candle, that has been like a big Instagrammy. I feel like I see them everywhere. Like whatever she is doing has been pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think that. So the interesting thing is that it does, like, it makes me. I mean, I'm not someone who like often stays at five. It's been a luxury in my life to stay at 5-star resorts, but it does take me back. They do smell like a really like luxe hotel lobby.
What does that smell like though? I mean, it's been so long for me as well, and I'm not like a purveyor of like the Four Seasons in multiple places, but like is it a cleanliness? Is it like what vibe? And are there they're different scents, I guess?
Yeah, they're different scents. I feel like I'm like very—
Does it just smell rich?
It just smells like, yeah, like smells like wealth.
Okay.
I can't describe it. It's just like when you walk into a really nice hotel and you take a deep breath and you're like how do they make it smell like this? Like,
yeah.
Like, what is that smell? That's what it reminds me of. I think it definitely— – I actually interviewed Lindsay for my podcast. This was before I actually tried the candle. And she mentioned that because of COVID and quarantine and people like not being able to leave, that like a big draw was— – the smell that reminded you of like traveling and getting out and about. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, to say the least.
I get that. I mean, especially during COVID, it's like, this is your hotel now, babe. Like, you live in these four walls. I'm intimately familiar with my house.
Oh,
And even just a little change like that, I think, is a really big deal. I mean, when I was still going to grocery stores, like probably before it got really bad here, and also before we call kind of, but when we were still wiping down our packages, but going in the car with other people, I would do like my Target runs and I would get a lot of candles. Cause it was like, what else am I like? This makes me happy. It's like, just like a little thing. Kate Spencer, also Forever 35. Mm-hmm. One of her big pieces of advice to people is like, get a signature scent for your home. So people always are like, oh, like her home always smells amazing. And I thought that was such Sephora has one, like SoulCycle has one. You know, why not have one? I would love for my home to be like rich hotel people.
Yeah.
So this might really be it for me. Do you know how approximately like what the burn time is? Does it say?
I don't know. I will look. 65 hours.
I mean, that's a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long time. Yes. Right. And then on the 11th ounce one I'm looking at right now, it says 70 hours. So that really does, you know, the cost amortizes over time.
Yeah. No, I definitely think it's worth it. I think that the price felt like high to me at first, mm-hmm. as someone who doesn't spend money on candles, but now I'm like, all right, this is where it's at. This is where
now
it's
you're at. The candles hoe. I mean,
I am. I'm a fellow candles hoe.
You're the candles hoe. I'm excited about this one. I got really into Otherland candles last winter.
Yes. They're also really good.
They're really good. Similarly priced, I think, in the $40 to $50 range. That feels like, you know, like we've graduated. You know what I mean? Like you've graduated from the School of Bath and Body Works candles, and it's like those are your Bath and Body Works candles, my Target candles, Old Faithfuls. But it's like, you know, we're adults now.
Right.
Like, oh, look at my big, expensive, rich person's candle. It smells like money.
Yes.
I like that a lot. Have you, I know that I see that they sell like diffusers. I see that they do like Bath and Body like sets. Do you have any other stuff from Hotel Collection that you think we should try? Room sprays? And yeah. And if so, what? And if not, what are you looking forward to trying next?
Good question. I don't have anything else.
Okay.
But next on my list is the Paris candle. I'm one of those annoying people who like goes to Europe once and is like, oh my God, I miss it so much.
Like when I was in Paris, when I lived in Paris in the hotel for 5 days. Okay. No, I'm with you on that. Yeah. What is it supposed to smell like?
The Paris one?
Yeah.
Let's
see. I'm looking right now. I'm like, so at the suite of the book.
Okay.
Wow. I'm like looking at all the candles. I'm like, which one do I want? These are great. Midnight in Paris. Ooh. I mean, look, this is, you guys are like literally, this trance I'm in right now is the candle's hoe inside. I'm like, she's coming out. She's coming out. I also just like love a deluxe candle, even though they're like $150 and I can never see myself doing it because I'm like,
right.
Oh, it's 20. Oh, but you know what? 25% off site wide on Hotel Collection right now. Watch out Nordstrom sale. We're coming. Wow. I'm looking at literally just adding things to my cart. Okay. So like this is the deluxe My Way candle is like inspired by the one hotel at Miami Beach based on the sophistication of the sensual masculine scent. I love this. I love like a sandalwood. The other thing, oh, burn time 300 hours. Oh, it's $134. Well, that's a deal.
Wait, I think, I don't know if this is the right one because I don't know. I don't recognize the things that you're saying.
Oh, I'm looking at, no, I'm looking at the Hotel Collection candles.
Is it Hotel Lobby?
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just on a different page, I think. Yeah, Hotel Lobby candle.
Okay, because they only have one size candle, so that's why I'm like.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe I wasn't. Oh, interesting. You guys, Candles Ho is actually the Hotel Collection Candles Ho, who bought an ad above Hotel Lobby candle. Oh my God, I've been looking at a different site the entire time. But it's literally the same thing.
That is so strange.
I'm keeping this in the episode because people have to know, because if you search Hotel Lobby candle, the first thing that pops up on Google is Hotel Collection candle.
I see that now.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing on Google?
That is very sneaky.
That's shady. That is candles hoe shit. Okay. Well, now I'm on the right site. Well, guys, guess what? Hotel Collection, who cares? Their site's 25% off, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay. Anna's like, I don't know what internet you're on.
I was like, something doesn't sound.
Yeah, you're right. Like, this isn't right. Okay, so you want, oh, I see. Okay. And also, their candles are $54 too. This is like, I don't believe in calling the cops, but I might make an exception and call 911 after this episode and report Hotel Collection candles. That's fucked up. Okay, now I'm on the right site. Okay, so I'm looking at the Paris one. So this is Meet the Sexiest Candle You'll Ever Light. Okay, hello. Inspired by the seductive Parisian nightlife. Just a whiff begs the question. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? Fun. Okay. Okay. I mean, this sounds lovely. It sounds like very like sexy. And like sexy candles are also different than the ones you're going to like light in your living room.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is your little literal candles hoe candle. So, so we need like like a family holiday camp. I cannot believe I spent the last 15 minutes on the wrong site.
I wish I would have known, but hey, now you're in the right place.
You know what? I want everyone to know, because there's no way that this doesn't happen all the time, that sneaky brand. Because I'm like, oh, what else have you tried? And you're like, nothing. They make candles. And I'm like, no, they make, it all makes sense now. You're like, I don't know what she's talking about. Wow, wild. Wow, I'm mad at them. Okay, so the island candle, is that does that feel more appropriate for like a family gathering, whereas Paris might be like a bedroom or bathroom situation?
Yeah, I think the island, so it is very like summery, but not like offensively summery the way that like Bath and Body Works summer candle. You know, it's very much like, I feel like Bath and Body Works candles are like yelling at you like, it is fall. You know, yeah, like there's nothing like subtle about it or like understated.
Yes.
But yeah, no. It's anytime fall. Anytime I burn it, I usually put it in the living room. The house smells really good.
That's nice. Yeah, the Bath and Body Works and Target have that in common, where they're like pumpkin spice, mittens, scarf, falling leaves, cozy socks. And then it's like, it's just like apple cider, like, or like grandma's cookies, grandma's Christmas cookies. But I like, do you gravitate more? This is my last candle toe question for you, because now we've been talking about candles for like 45 minutes. Do you gravitate more towards a food smell or a nature smell in Bath and Body Works specifically?
Oh, I cannot stand their food smells.
I'm the opposite.
It always goes, you're either one or the other. Like no candles hoe is neutral on that.
Ayana, thank you so much for coming to G Thanks Just Bought It. This was such a delight.
Yes, this was wonderful. Thank you for having me.
It was so great. Let everyone know where they can follow you and where they can listen to you.
Okay, so it like stresses me out always to spell out my Instagram handle because I'm afraid I'm going to spell my own name wrong, but we're gonna do our best.
You can do it.
So on Instagram, I am at Ayana Gabrielle Lage, AYANAGABRI.
like records. Okay,
I sucked myself up.
You did.
Okay, it's at AYANAGABRIELLELAGE. Jesus.
You did it.
Yeah. And my podcast is called Asked by Ayana. You can find it on any podcast platform.
Amazing. And you guys, if you don't follow her on Instagram, get yourself there. It's Friday right now, which means the tweets of the week are coming either. Sometimes you do them on a late Sunday. Sometimes you do them on a Monday.
But they're on the way. They're on the way.
When I tell you, I'm including the screenshot of just all of my replies to her, the tweets that she rounds up. When I tell you I sit there actually LOLing, I am not joking. It is such a gift you've given us. Thank you so much for coming to G Thanks. Everyone, we will link to everything we talked about in the show notes, the correct candle website for all of you candles hoes out there. And we will see you next week for another episode of G Thanks.